Hey, it's your host Brittany, and welcome to the Mom Sweat Sanity Podcast, where we talk all things life, health, fitness, kids, relationships, you name it, nothing is off the table. A little bit of just me and a whole lot of knowledgeable guests. So throw on your Lulus to run or to mom, grab yourself a cup of coffee or a glass of wine, and join us as we unpack life's pressing topics and learn a little bit more of the who, what, whys of it all. Or at the very least, get real, share some wisdom, and grab practical tips to help in our daily lives. Hey everyone, thank you so much for tuning in today, and welcome to my race recap from my Ironman 70.3 in Indian Wells, Palm Springs this past Sunday. So I'm going to go into all of the things, but I'm going to start with Sunday. Like so many of Ironman events are on Sundays, and I think it's because of logistics of like closing down cities, towns, all the things. But may I just say, a Sunday race kind of really sucks because you are just like nerved all weekend long. And then finally the race comes and then you go to bed early because you're exhausted after the race. And then you wake up and it's Monday. And all day today when I'm recording this, it feels like it should be Sunday. But I guess that's a way to hurry the week up, which I'm not really a fan of. Anyways, that's just one rambling. Anyhow, so we ended up getting down to Palm Springs a few days early, which was fantastic, and just kind of was able to relax, do other things to keep my mind occupied. And then Friday is when Athletes Village opened up, and I was able to go check in, get my race number, listen to the athlete briefing, meet a few other Betty girls, and then just have a chill night again with Ryan. And then Saturday, I got to have one of my Betty squad members and her husband over for the night. We hosted them, and we both did the race together. She's also one, she is a Betty, as I said, but she is also my coach that put together my training plan for this awesome event. So it was so much fun to spend time together, which we've never done, and race the same course. And yeah, it was great. I just enjoyed having her energy around. So shout out to Jen. Thank you so much. And that's that on all of that front. So race morning always comes early. The night before a race of sleep is never awesome. All of the things are going through your mind, and you also often have a very early alarm. So I was in bed at 9, probably asleep by like 9:30, and then had a few tossing and turnings through the night, and then my alarm went off at 4 a.m. So we left the house at 4:30 to head down to the shuttles and took the shuttle buses because there is absolutely no way of driving, no cars or anything at the Lake Kuila or Lake Kuya, I'm not really sure how you pronounce it, reservoir where we swim. And so everyone, athletes and spectators, if they choose to go to the swim start, have to hop on the bus. So we were driving to the bus, the shuttles, and it was 47 degrees, which, I mean, I'm Canadian, so you guys can do the math for me, but it was freaking cold. And the water temperature in the morning was 58 degrees. So the water technically should feel warmer because the air is colder. And yeah, that's where it all started. But anyways, so we got off the shuttles, we did our thing, and then you have to be out of transition by 6:30, and then all the masses start flooding the beach to get in line for your corrals, which then, because there's pros, men and women that start first, the age group athletes actually don't start until 7:15, where they let four people in the water at a time, like I think 3 seconds apart, just to space everyone out a little bit. And you're supposed to line up by projected swim time. And there were 3,000 athletes or something like that. So you can imagine their hope was to get everyone off the beach and into the water within 1 hour from the 7:15 time. And again, we were already on the beach by about 6:20 in the morning. And so by the time 7:20 came around, I was already freezing. Like it was cold out, even though we were in wetsuits. The ground was damp, like it was cold. Anyhow, so Jen is a very fast swimmer, and she was slotting herself up towards the front of the pack, which is exactly where she should be. And I slotted myself kind of into the next pack, which was definitely, if I'm gonna say I slotted myself there for time zone, it would be very aggressive. But I slotted myself there because I knew I was going to swim on the outside anyways, and I was so cold that I knew I just needed to get in the water and get this done. Otherwise, I was going to get even more cold on the beach. So I got in the water probably within the first 10 minutes, which was great. And then after 100 meters of swimming, I doggy paddled. I started to just, I've had this like MO of like, having total panic attacks in the water for maybe 30 seconds and being able to calm myself, talk myself through, and then just move along and have a great swim. This was not that. It was so cold that it just kept taking my breath away, and I literally could not calm my body and bring my heart rate down. It was a feeling that I have never had before. I doggy paddled for 200 meters and then saw a lifeguard paddleboard. So in races, you're allowed to hold on to something. They have sometimes like some swim docks, which they did in certain areas that I saw, but they also have several lifeguards on paddleboards, and you're allowed to hold on to them for a rest or to, just like I did, recover kind of idea, as long as it's not moving you forward in the race. So I held on to this paddleboard for like a good 45 seconds, just trying to like breathe and catch my breath and bring my heart rate down enough so that I could continue swimming, what I did. And then I started to get into a bit of a rhythm, and then 100 meters later, I started to really like feel that elevation in heart rate again. Looked for the next paddleboard, held on again. And I did this. I crawled through over half of the course, the swim course, doing this. I held on, I think, to five different paddle boards, and I doggy paddled several minutes, just contemplating with myself as to why I was doing this and if I could do this, and talking myself through it. It was something I have never experienced in a race before. I've done one full Ironman, which was hard as fuck. Not gonna lie, not gonna sugarcoat it, but in terms of a swim, I have never experienced this in my life. It was brutal, and I wanted to quit. And I just kept saying, okay, let's just get to the next one and see how I'm feeling and if I'm warm enough and, you know, if I'm moving forward enough. And I kept negotiating with myself. And then finally something happened. After the halfway mark, I think the swim buoy thing said 9, which would mean I'm over halfway, I believe. I went through the gates on this swim course. There was like two gates, and then you go through that, and then you start to sight again for all the buoys on your right. I went through the gates and finally just like was able to find a rhythm. I had been in the water for 25 minutes. I looked at my watch, and maybe I just was finally warm enough and was able to regulate my temperature enough after being in there for 25 minutes that I just finally found my stroke. And I did it. I found my stroke. I finished the swim. I got out of the water. Thank God they had wetsuit strippers like at the other end where they help you take your wetsuit off, because this was a thing that they stopped doing post, like after COVID. Thankfully, they were there because my hands would not have functioned to be able to do any of this on my own. My transition was super long as I was trying to totally dry my body off and warm up and change into my bike gear. But anyways, I did it, and all I kept saying to myself through the swim was like, just get on the bike. I don't want to quit. I don't want, like, As dumb as it sounds, I don't want all these people that I know that know I'm doing this to be like, oh my God, you know, like you didn't finish, and specifically my kids. And so I'm like, I'm not quitting. I know I can do this, and I know I can have a great bike and run. And that was literally the thing that was motivating me to get through the one part, the one component of this whole thing that I didn't like. I didn't like the swim. And so I held it to myself to be like, just get through this because the rest of it's going to be a great day. And I don't know where that came from in the mindset, but here's the thing. We all have things that we don't like, but by doing it, it unlocks something further that is so much more positive. And that's what happened to me on Sunday. I was able to dig deep and reason with myself and just literally take it one stroke at a time and tell myself that I was okay. I wasn't dying. Nothing was happening. I was going to be okay. And the worst case scenario would be that I'm like, call it a day. And this was not my day to do this. And DNF, do not finish, did not finish. But this was not my day. And I just knew it inside of me that that was not my day. And so I got through it, got through transition, and I got on my bike. And I just had it in me somewhere that I knew the bike ride for me was going to be awesome. And I had an awesome ride. I held myself to a certain miles per hour the whole race. And I PR'd my bike and I felt so strong and I was so happy with it. So good things come. The bike definitely sucks in terms of the road. I'd say half of it is horrible road and really rough and bumpy and all that kind of crap. I got off of the bike with a super sore back, so I popped two Advil that were in my run kit. But after the bike, then parts of the bike, we got to go around like the thermal racetrack, which unless you're a member there with a race car, you don't have access to. And so to be able to bike on like a racetrack is amazing and beautiful pavement. And it was awesome, like so epic. So came in off of my bike, saw my husband cheering for me at the end of my bike, and then came through the transition where my mom was also standing, had a quick turnover into my running shoes and out onto the race course for the run. I just had it in my mind that I'm like, okay, just get to like mile eight. Once I get to mile eight, I know that I can do anything. Like it's only 13 miles. I'm more than halfway there. And so I felt fairly strong until I'd say about mile seven, and then the heat, my legs, everything started to take over. But I still did a run walk. I would walk through the aid stations, get the water, splash my face, drink the Gatorade, the Coke, like all the things, and then kept running. And so then when I was actually running, I could have a decent pace. And when I realized that I could basically be right around 2 hours for my run, that's when I'm like, okay, the last 2 miles, it's go time. Let's get this done. So my run was pretty decent. I don't actually know if I don't think it's a overall PR personal record for my run course, but it was for my bike. And so my bike with a really decent run and a horrible swim all came together to give me a full 70.3 PR overall, which I was shocked and super happy with, because also this fall I have developed my swimming more than I ever have put into it. And to know that I could have had such a strong swim despite my feelings of the day and the weather, well, the water, I should say, temperature, is just really satisfying, I guess I can say. So I PR'd the entire thing by like 13 seconds or something, but I still did it. So I'm walking away from this race very happy, with so many lessons and just a very profound, deep sense of accomplishment, not just for this race at all, for wanting to stop something so badly because I had full control to just say no, and to be able to push through because I knew that I would be disappointed for not trying, and I would be disappointed for not saying yes. And I did. I didn't let myself quit. I made a promise to myself that I held myself accountable to. And when you feel so enticed by that one feeling in something, excuse me, in something that you know that you can stop, it is such a unique and incredible and different perspective as to where you have to go to push yourself not to. And I know that if you are into sports, then you understand what I'm talking about, because when we push ourselves so hard, we can stop at any given moment. I have in the past compared, like when I did Ironman, to childbirth, and thinking that Ironman was actually harder in a way. And this is why. It's because you can stop. It's up to you to say no more. Whereas when I had my kids, I couldn't stop. They were coming. Like we hit the decision was they were inside of me and they were getting out. And there is no control over that side. So committing to something like this, where you have full control to be like, no, fuck that, I'm done. You really dig deep and learn about yourself mentally on so many different levels. And I just really wish for you listening, and I'm sure if you're listening, you do. I feel like people that understand what I'm talking about are those ones that are sport mindset, understanding the mentality of that, knowing the struggle of being able to physically stop because your mind says, okay, that's enough. But the struggle of not wanting to and not being defeated by our mindset. And this is something that plays out in all of life. And that's why I'm such a big proponent of the mental side of what we get out of sport or fitness and health. And it all intertwines into life. And you truly learn more about yourself and what you are capable of when you put yourself into certain positions where you can stop and you choose not to. So I hope that today you are taking away a few thoughts from this podcast, and that maybe I can inspire you and motivate you to try something new or to not give up on yourself, to keep pushing and to keep getting to your finish line, whatever your finish line may be. You can. I believe in you. Get after it.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. And because you are here at the very end, I want you to be the first ones to hear about my amazing new small group mastermind starting January 2024. Introducing the Momentum Mastermind. Okay, moms, I've been working on something and this is for you. If you're an entrepreneur, if you're a business owner, if you're a stay-at-home mom, if you're a dreamer, if you have a 9-to-5, if you're fueled by goals, or if you feel like you are made for more and want to get after it and out of your own head and be surrounded in an environment that offers you supportive, like-minded, mom-fueled females, this is where you're going to want to be. The Momentum Mastermind. Today, I am announcing my small group mastermind for 2024. 6 months commencing January 16th. Through the end of June, this mastermind group will meet twice monthly on Zoom, amazing monthly guest speakers in all areas, women's health, fitness, business development, unlimited Voxer support for myself and others in the group, as well as 2 in-person retreats. And for those that sign up before the end of 2023, I will be offering them a one-on-one session every other month, so offering 3 one-on-ones throughout the 6-month course. If you're looking for interaction, inspiration, accountability, and growth in all areas of your life, this is for you, and I welcome you to the Momentum Mastermind. Reach out today. Let's get started.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. If you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to share it. See you next week. You can find me on Instagram at momsweatsandwich.